Last week, you looked at the historical significance of some of the comments in the Tosfos. Today, we're going to look at it through a conceptual, philosophical lens, using a suggestion made by Rav Soloveitchik in a shiur that he gave in 1970. I obviously wasn't there, but I listened to the shiur. It was a really excellent shiur. I'll present his suggestion, and you'll see, well, you know, the beauty of the conceptual methodology. In order to fully appreciate the conceptual methodology, we really need to make sure we have a good grasp of the four questions that Tosfos asks. And I know we've gone through this already, but just to review today, let's read them inside. The Gemara had said that everybody agrees that the earliest time to say Shema is nightfall. We'll discuss, you know, in the future exactly why that is and everything. But nightfall is the earliest time. And then Tosfos is going to quote Rashi. First, they're going to cite the problem. Pirush Rashi, the top left, Tosfos, Mei Masai, where I underline. Pirush Rashi, Ve'anan Heichi Karinan Mebe'od Yom. How do we read Shema so early in the day? Ve'einanu Mamtinin Letzei Sakochavim. And we don't wait until nightfall. Kedem Farish Pagamara. Al Kain Piresh Rashi. And therefore Rashi said, Shekriat Shema Shel Hamita Ikar. That the Shema that you read at night before you go to sleep, that's the central Shema. Vehu Le'achar Tzeta Kochavim. And that's going to be after nightfall. Vahachi Sabi Yerushalmi Im Kara Kodem Lachen Lo Yatza. If you read earlier, you don't fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, why do you then say Shema and Shul? Anybody remember what Rashi's answer is? Why do we bother saying Shema and Shul? Divrei Torah, that's correct. Kedei la'amod b'tfilah metoch divrei Torah. In order to begin our Shemona Esrei with words of Torah. Same reason why we say Rabbi Yishmael Omer before we begin davening. And the same reason why we say Ashrei before Mincha. To begin your davening with Divrei Torah. Teima lepirusho. Now the early Rishonim, Rabbi Yitzchak Kanpantone, was a late Rishon, a late medieval commentary, who came a little bit around the same time as the Ritva. And he lived in Tunisia. And he was a contemporary of all of these commentaries. But he wrote a unique book called Darchei HaGemara, or Darchei HaTalmud, depending on your edition. In it, he explains exactly how the Rishonim used to study the Gemara and its commentaries. It's an amazing book that's really, really useful for studying Talmud. I think I'd be nowhere in my Talmud studies without that. It's a very small book, you know, 40 pages or something like that. But it explains exactly what they used to do. And what he explains there about the word tema, when Tosfos would say tema, it means they have a huge question. As opposed to when they say, ve'im tomar, and if you shall say, if you shall ask me the following question, or ve'kasheh, ve'kasheh means I have a difficulty. Right? Kasheh means difficulty, im tomar means if you say. These are smaller questions. So according to Rabbi Yitzchak Kanpantone, if you see the word ve'im tomar or ve'kasheh, then there's a question and there's an answer. But if you see the word tema, it's a very big question which will usher in a new conceptual understanding of the issue at hand. That's just a methodological point. So when we see that word tema, that's what we assume. We're going to see that they ask several questions, and we should understand that their answer will usher in a brand new conceptual understanding. Okay. Tema lepirusho. Hello, ein haolam regilin. Lekrot samuch leshkiva. Ela parasha rishona. Vimkein shalosh parshiot hayalo likro. You only have to, the first question. We're just reviewing the four questions again. The first question is, everybody generally only reads the first paragraph of Shema when they go to bed. And if it's true that that's the Shema that fulfills the mitzvah, you ought to have read all three paragraphs of Shema. Okay? That's question number one. You don't read enough at night. So the bedtime Shema can't be the right one. Number two. The Ode Kasher. The Tzarich Levarech. Bekriat Shema Shtaim Lefanea. Ushtaim Leacharea Be'arvit. Oh, by the way, I want to just point out that there are little answers that we can give for Rashi. But when we reveal sort of this Rav Soloveitchik's answer, you'll see how it really answers everything in a more beautiful fashion. But for the first question, you could just say that Rashi holds that the first paragraph of Shema is the only mitzvah that you need, right? And not the other two. In fact, in our edition of Rashi, that's what he says. For the second question, which we just read in Hebrew, but I'll translate. The second question was, we say two brachos before Shema and one after Shema. And presumably these are brachos that are related to the mitzvah of Shema. They're Birkot HaMitzvah. And so, how can we, according to Rashi, if the first Shema is only to say Divrei Torah before the Amidah, how could we say those brachot? Aren't they brachot levatala? It would be akin to saying, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen, and then sometime later in the day, 6 hours later, drinking a glass of grape juice, a glass of wine. How could you say a bracha about the Shema if it's not really the Shema that's fulfilling the mitzvah? So, I mean, he could have said, first of all, Tosfos could have suggested something radical. I mean, we could have just said that in Achanami, on when you daven ma'ariv, when you say ma'ariv, you don't say birkot kriyat shema. You should treat it like mincha. Just say shema, just as you would say ashrei, and then say shmona esrei. Right? But they don't say that, and nobody ever did that. That was never the practice. We know that was never the practice. I mean, that could have been a suggestion, but not the suggestion. I mean, perhaps Rashi would say that birkot kriyat, yeah? Well, we'll discuss that. That's the people who do that because that's right. Well, no, then you don't get gula tefillah because you don't say gal yisrael. That's right. So that's the opinion of the Rush and the Gra. The Gra held that the Rush's opinion was the Ikar opinion when it came to davening, and so the opinion of the Gra was not like everything we've just read, but rather that the proper thing to do, if you daven Marv in a shul like ours, where you daven Marv before nightfall, the proper thing to do would be to daven Shemona Esrei, and you could say any Divrei Torah before the Shemona. You could say Shema, you could say Ashrei, whatever you want. You could say whatever Divrei Torah you want to say. You daven Ma'ariv, you daven the Shemona Esrei, and then when you get home later, you say Birkot Kriyat Shema and the Shema. That's the opinion of the Rush, and the Gra says that's the proper thing to do. But very few people, I think, follow that opinion. And we're going to see why, because according to... We're just going to hold back for a moment. Very few people hold like that opinion. I'm sorry? Kriyat Shema. That's a good question. So that's why there's a big machloket. So the Rashba, and Rashi never says this explicitly, but presumably Rashi holds like the Rashba that the Birkot Kriyat Shema are not Birkot HaMitzvah at all. So that's what the Rashba says. He says the Birkot Kriyat Shema are not Birkot HaMitzvah at all, and that they're separate from Shema in some way. Now, Rav Soloveitchik had a really interesting interpretation, by the way, the brachos of Kriyat Shema. And that is that each one of the three brachos is related to one of the paragraphs of Shema. If you note, so each paragraph of Shema has a different theme. The first paragraph of Shema is accepting God and loving God. The second, let's get a sitter out. The second paragraph of Shema is accepting the mitzvot, and the third paragraph of Shema. Thank you. Here, I want to show how each bracha relates to those things. So, the first paragraph of Shema is about Ahavat Hashem. Yeah, and accepting God, and so the first bracha. I'm sorry? Yeah. And so the first bracha that we say, Yotzer Or Uvo Rechoshech, one second. Yotzer HaMe'orot. Yotzer Orvor HaChoshech, and then Yotzer HaMe'orot is that God created the world. And so he explains that that's really the essence of the first paragraph. The second paragraph is about learning Torah, and that's a Havar Rabba, is about learning Torah. And all of that. That's the second paragraph. In the second paragraph of Shema, and so on and so forth. You should teach your sons Torah, and you should follow the mitzvos, and so on and so forth. And the third paragraph of Shema is about remembering. It's about God as a redeemer. God took us out of Egypt, right? That's the third paragraph of Shema is all that about Yetziat Mitzrayim and how God took us out of Egypt. And so the last bracha, the one which follows the Shema Shacharis, is Ga'al Yisrael, about God as a redeemer. So that was Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation of the three brachos of Shema. But so that's how he says it's sort of, they're sort of related. Let's just go back to these questions of Tosfos. The third question, so again, the second question was the brachos. The third question is regarding the value of Kriyas Shema Shalamita. The Odo Ta Kriyas Shema Samuch Lamita Eina Ela Bishvila Mazikin Kede Amar B'Samuch V'in Talmid Chacham U'ino Tzarech. The Kriyas Shema explicitly in the Gemara that you say at night when before you go to bed is only to ward off demons. And in fact, if you studied any other Torah beforehand, if you're a Talmud Chacham and you study Torah before you go to sleep, you don't have to say Kriyat Shema Shalamita. And so that's the third question. The fourth question is about the order of the prayers. Tfilot ba'emtza tiknum or smichos geula l'tfila. So just to review, there is a difference of opinion as to the order of all of the prayers. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the most important thing is to always say the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael before the Amida, whether it's in the morning or whether it's at night. According to the other opinion, and according to the alternative opinion, the three Shemona Esrays go between the two Kriyot Shema, and so therefore, Marv, you would first say Shemona Esrei and then say Shema, according to the other opinion. But we don't hold that way. We know that we hold Ga'al Yisrael should always come before the Amida. And so that's the four questions that Tosfos says. To extrapolate, according to Rashi, we would not be doing it that way. Because according to Rashi, that first Shema is a useless Shema from a mitzvah perspective. It's only there, like Ashrei Yoshevei Beisecha. So according to Rashi, that Shema is not really so important, and so that's not the Shema that that precedes, that's not really the Shema. The real Shema comes later, and ipso facto, you would have said three Shemona Esrays between two Shemas. And we know that's not how we rule. Okay. So to read the answer. Lachein Piresh Rabbeinu Tam De'adarabah. Kriyat Shema shel Beit HaKnesset Ikar. This is again the revolutionary idea of Rabbeinu Tam. The Kriyat Shema that you say at shul, that is the central Kriyat Shema. As even though when do you say it when it's bright as day outside? They said it even before Shkia. They said it after Plag. They said it before Shkia. So that's it's remarkable. V'im tomar hayachanu korinota kol kach mi be'od yom. And if you ask, why do we read it so early when it's bright as day outside, even though we know that you're required to say Shema late at night? Yesh lomar dekaimalan kerebi Yehuda de'amar perek tefilat ha-shachar dezman tefilat mincha ad plaga mincha. We hold like Rabbi Yehuda that mincha is only until plaga mincha, an hour and a quarter before sunset. And after mincha is the time for ma'ariv. Now, what we pointed out last week, and what we'll point out again, but we're going to interpret in a different way today, is that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, as opposed to that of the Chachamim hold, that the time for Ma'ariv is at night. that you could say mincha until sunset and ma'ariv after sunset. Rabbi Yehuda holds you could say mincha until an hour and a quarter before sunset, until plaga mincha, and then ma'ariv immediately after that. But that's only with regards to tefillah, with regards to davening. Up until now, we have assumed that davening and Shema are separate things. Because that's the assumption. That's what was assumed by Rabbeinu Yonah. I didn't include it in this week's source packet, but last week we read Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rabbeinu Yonah told us, look, you can daven whenever. Everybody agrees you can daven after Plaga Mincha. Nobody disagrees with that. Everybody agrees you can daven Ma'ariv early. But Shema has nothing to do with davening. The only Shema is a mitzvah. It's a biblical command to recite Shema. So how does Rabbeinu Tam do this halachic kind of magic where he connects Shema with davening? Meaning he says that the rule of when you should say Shema is connected to when you can daven. Ma'ariv has nothing to do with B'shachtecha of Kumecha. It has to do with when davening was instituted. Shema has to be said B'shachtecha, when you would go to sleep. Nobody's going to sleep an hour and a quarter before sunset. Especially not now. I mean, some people maybe. So, Rav Soloveitchik made an incredible suggestion. Well, the first suggestion, by the way, that Rav Soloveitchik made, which is a little bit less revolutionary than the one that he made afterwards, is that according to Tosafot, all of the rules of these mitzvot that are supposed to be done at night, it just means they need to be done early in the next day. And they hold that after Plaga Mincha, it's already early in the next day. It's already can be considered early in the next day. That's why, for example, when we do early Shabbos, you cannot begin Shabbos earlier than Plaga Mincha, an hour and a quarter before sunset. That's the earliest time to start Shabbos, if you'd like to start it early. So just as after Plaga Mincha can be attached to the next day, so too Shema and all of these things can be attached to the next day. But I think the following suggestion is, yeah.
Why would someone think that would be part of the next day? I mean, I would understand that, like, sunset, the sun's going to get.
So the answer is that in the Beis HaMikdash, after Plaga Mincha was the next day already. That's the Plaga Mincha was the end of the day in the Beis HaMikdash. The temple doors would close at Plaga Mincha. The doors of the Azara were closed at Plaga Mincha. That's when it was, and that after that was considered the end of the day. So if that's considered the end of the day, Plaga Mincha and onwards can potentially be considered already the next day. You know, sort of like when, you know, if they come to clean up the synagogue after we close the doors on Saturday night, they're really coming to clean up for Sunday morning. They're not, you know, I would say it like that. So they close the doors to the Azara, it's already considered the next day afterwards. That's where Plaga Mincha comes from. Plaga Mincha comes from the rules of the temple. In the temple, it was the day was different. Yeah.
Hold that for Truma as well.
I'm not sure. I don't know. That's a good question.
But potentially.
Yeah, potentially, Rav Soloveitchik. Right. Potentially, if they hold this way for Shema and all these things, it would account for all anything that happens after anything after Plag would be considered part of the next day. But let's look. It is. But let's look at this other explanation. Page 2. Has anyone ever heard of a vasikin minyan? Davening vasikin. So davening vasikin means that you begin davening shortly before sunrise, so that you begin Shmona Esrei immediately at sunrise. That idea comes from this Gemara. Take a look on page 2. We're going to read the Gemara, but I want to read it carefully because we're going to analyze it. Kriyat Shema Kevatikin. You see where I underlined on page 2? L'kriyat, Kuf Shin is Kriyat Shema. L'kriyat Shema Kevatikin. Vatikin means the senior people. The senior people. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Vatikin Hayu Gomrinota Im Hanetzachama. Vatikin used to finish the Shema with the sunrise. Right now we're in the morning Shema, not the evening Shema. Vatikin used to finish the Shema of the morning with sunrise. Tanya Nami Hachi, the following Brisa is in accordance with that opinion. Vatikin ayu gomrinota emanetza chama, kedei sheyismoch geula l'tfila, v'nimtza mitpalel bayom. The seniors, the elders, used to finish Shema, gomrin ota, finish it meaning the Shema, im hanetza chama, with the sunrise. By the way, this is a pet peeve of mine. People always say nates, because they think nates, they think means sunrise, because they think hanates means the sunrise. But that's incorrect. Hanates. What? Right. Hanates means sunrise. So you can never, nates means nothing. The word just begins with the letter hey. It doesn't mean the sunrise. Hanates just means sunrise. So it's always daven, you never daven nates. You can daven hanates. Just a pet peeve. Hayugom rinota im hanates achama. They used to finish Shema with the nates of chama. Why? Kedei sheyismoch geula l'tfila, so that you would finish Ga'al Yisrael immediately before Shemona Esrei, then in Tzamit Palel Bayom. And you daven in the morning. Here, sometimes it turns out that we daven before sunrise. We say Shemona Esrei before sunrise. But that's really not the ideal practice. The ideal practice is to daven Shemona Esrei at or after sunrise. And that's what you're really supposed to do. You're supposed to daven Shemona Esrei after sunrise. So, let's just dwell on that line for a second. According to that Gemara, why do you daven around, let's just paint the picture. The Gemara says you have to daven around the time of sunrise. Say Shema immediately before sunrise, so that you can say Shemona Esrei immediately after sunrise, and have Geulah L'Tfilah, and have the Brach of Ga'al Yisrael take place immediately before you daven. Okay? Why? Which one do you think is more important? Let me paint both possibilities. Do you think it's important that you daven, that you say the Shema before sunrise? That's really what the Vatican wanted to do. They wanted to say Shema before sunrise. And therefore, because Shemona Esrei has to be attached to Shema because of Geula L'Tfila, they said Shema immediately after sunrise. Or do you think that Shemona Esrei must be said immediately after sunrise? That's really the important thing. The important thing is to say Shemona Esrei immediately after sunrise. And then, because of Geula L'Tfila, you have to say Shema right before that. So therefore, just by its nature, you end up saying Shema right before sunrise. Which, do you hear the difference? Mm-hmm. Hear the difference. Let's read the line of the Gemara again and see what we think. Vatikin hayu gomrinota im hanetzachama. The elders used to finish Shema with the sunrise. Kedei, so that she yismoch geula l'tfila. So v'nimtza mitpalel bayom. So that he's able to do geula l'tfila and daven after sunrise. So which one is the important rule and which one is just the result of that rule?
Sounds like the davening after sunrise is the important one.
The ikar. Sounds like davening after sunrise is the ikar. Does everybody agree? Anybody disagree? I agree, that's the simple reading. Let's just read the pasuk that they learned from. It's a pasuk from Tehillim. Ma amar Rabbi Zeira Maikra. What's the pasuk from which you learn this? Yira'ucha im shemesh v'lifnei yareach dor dorim. Yira'ucha im shemesh. They shall fear you with the sun. Okay? That's what the verse in Psalms and Tehillim says. They shall fear you with the sun. And so therefore, the davening needs to come with the sun, because that's our expression of our fear of God. We'll get back to that pasuk later. So let's take a look at Rashi. My kra'a. You see the Rashi on the left? I underlined it. My kra'a, what's the pasuk? The so he explains. What's the pasuk? So right now Rashi is commenting. He's explaining the line in the Gemara where a verse is brought, cited as evidence for the fact that you should daven in this manner, that a vatika, that the elders preferred to daven in this manner. My kra'a de mitzvah lehitpalel im ha-meitzachama. We were right. Right? What is the pasuk that teaches you that it's a mitzvah to daven lehitpalel always means to daven shmones, right? With sunrise. So in his explanation of the question, Rashi agrees with our simple reading of the Gemara that the important part is to say Shmona Esrei with sunrise. That's the question, right? The pasuk teaches you that you're supposed to daven with sunrise. But take a look at the next line in Rashi. He cites the pasuk, D'chsiv yira'ucha im shemesh. Matai.
I explained to you, you should fear God with the sunrise. That's what the pasuk says. But Rashi's going to really explain, how does that teach you should daven at sunrise? How does the fact that the verse in Psalms says that they shall fear you, we shall fear you with the sun, how does that teach us that we should daven with the sunrise? Rashi explains, Matai mityar'in mimcha, when do the people fear you? Kshimora acha mekablim aleihem. When they accept your awe upon them, dehainu malchus shamayim shemekablim aleihem bekriyat shema, namely the yoke of heaven that they accept upon themselves when they read the shema.
So then it sounds like the shema is more.
It sounds like in the question, Rashi thinks that the davening after sunrise is really the central point. And that reading Shema before sunrise is a minor point. But then in this answer of the whole verse where you learned, right, the verse, the big pasuk that teaches us why we should daven this way, in that verse, it's all about the Shema. We fear God through our acceptance of the yoke of heaven, namely when we say Kriyat Shema. It's the opposite. Let's look at what the Rambam says. Take a look at the next page.
Kriyat
Shema before Hanetz.
If you read it exactly like that, you should say the Kriyat Shema after Hanetz.
Why?
In Yerach Lim Hashemesh, is Kriyat Shema, and Kriyat Shema means with the sun.
Oh, with the sun. So Kriyat Shema could be with the sun, but then davening has to be immediately after the sun.
It could be that the whole thing is part of the relationship.
Good, so we're getting there. You'll see. Okay. Rambam, who takes this one line, rules in an amazing way. Page 3. This is the laws of Kriyat Shema, not the laws of Tefillah. Rambam has two separate chapters. There's the laws of Shema and the laws of Tefillah, the laws of prayer, because generally it's assumed that they're separate. Eizehu zman Kriyat Shema. What is the proper time to say Shema? Balayla mitzvata mishat yitziyata kochavim. Ad chatzi alayla. At night, the proper time is from nightfall, from the emergence of three stars, until midway through the night, midnight. Bemavar veicher vekara ad shelo ala muda shachar yatza yedei chovato. But if you missed it, by midnight, this is what the Mishnah says, simple Mishnah. We read the Mishnah the first week. But if you didn't read it by midnight, you could still say it until Amud HaShachar, until the very, very beginning of the sun's rays coming up. You fulfill Amru Ad Chatzot, Ela Kedei La'arachik Adam, Shalom Amru Ad Chatzot, Ela Kedei La'arachik Adam Min HaPshi'a. They only told you to say it by midnight in order to distance us from transgressing. Oh, sorry. I was really wanting to read the next one. I circled the wrong halacha. I'm sorry. Because we're about Hanetz. I was wondering when that was going to come up. Okay, I just circled the wrong one. The Eizu Zmana Bayom. What's the proper time to recite Shema during the day? Mitzvatashi Atchil Likro Kodem Hanetz Achama. The mitzvah is to begin reading it before sunrise. That's the mitzvah. Kedei sheyigmor likrot ulvarich bracha achrona im hanetzachama. Why? He changes the kedei, right? And the Gemara said kedei, that you should kedei, so that. Kedei means so that. Yel daven shmona esrei after sunrise. But here it says, kedei sheyigmor lekrotu levarech bracha achrona, so that you finish reading the last bracha of Gaal Yisrael with sunrise. You should say Shema before sunrise, so that you get to Gaal Yisrael at sunrise. This is just an interesting thing. How long should that be? Isur Sha'a. What's Isur Sha'a? A tenth of an hour. 6 minutes. That means the Rambam believes that from the beginning of Birkot Kriyat Shema until Gaal Yisrael should take 6 minutes. It took us, I put the stopwatch on this morning because I was curious how long we take. It took us 5 minutes and 10 seconds. So we were a little fast according to the Rambam, which is pretty close. But what I think is amazing is that he doesn't say it should take half an hour between, you know, Kriyat Shema, between Birkot Kriyat Shema and, you know, the Birkot Kriyat Shema shouldn't take that long. I remember I once, you know, when I went to YU, I didn't live in the YU area. I lived on the Upper West Side and I commuted. So usually I went to Minyan at Lincoln Square Synagogue, which was near my apartment on the West Side. And I would then take the subway up to YU. But I decided one time that I would try, I heard that YU had a later Minyan at 8:30. And then the Gemara, the Seder, this starts at 9 o'clock, so I could take the subway and get there and daven at 8:30, and then go to the Seder. So I heard that the Minyan was designed to finish by the time you would have to start the Seder at 9 o'clock. So I get there and I look on the YU website when the 8:30 Minyan is, and I go to the 8:30 Minyan. And at 9 o'clock, they were still in the middle of Psukei Dezimra. Because the advertised 8:30 minyan was the slowest minyan in the yeshiva. They don't finish until like 9:45. It's a very, very long minyan. The unadvertised minyan was the one that went a little bit faster. But I would argue that according to the Rambam, the unadvertised minyan was really davening at the proper pace and not the advertised one. Okay, so that's the laws of Kriyat Shema. He says in the laws of Shema, he paskins that Shema needs to be before sunrise. Now look at the laws of Tefillah, page 4. Tefillat HaShachar, mitzvata sheyatchil etpalel imanei tzachama. You should daven Shmona Esrei with sunrise. That's all we have to read. The point is that the Rambam says that both, that line of Vasikin, they both have to be, they're both mitzvot, they're both the halacha. It's the halacha to say Shema before sunrise, and it's the halacha to say Shemona Esrei immediately as sunrise begins. That's the ideal time to daven. It's so ideal, by the way, that the Mishnah Brura rules that if you normally daven this way, it's so ideal that it's more important to daven this way regularly than to daven with a minyan. The Gruss says that any day you decide to do it, you don't have to daven with a minyan. Our minyan, for example, doesn't daven Hanei Tzachama. Sometimes it happens to be that it does, but not by design. So according to the Gra, any time that this minyan does not fulfill that requirement, and you really want to fulfill that requirement, it's better off not to daven with a minyan. Just to daven alone and to daven at Hanei Tzachama. What? I don't want to lose people, but... Yeah, okay. Okay. One more... Two more pieces of evidence about this. One more, really. Page 5. The bottom line. What Rav Soloveitchik wanted to do by bringing all these sources is to show you that Kriyat Shema and Tefillah are actually connected in some way. And if you look at this one line over here, it really highlights that connection. The bottom line. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, if one wants to accept upon themselves a full yoke of heaven, a full Ol Malchut Shamayim, in the best proper way, next page at the top, Yafne v'itol yadav, you'll get up and you'll go to the bathroom and you'll wash your hands. V'yaniach tefillin, you'll put on your tefillin. V'ikra kriyat shema v'yitpalel, you'll say Shema, and you'll daven Shemona Esrei. V'zo hi malchut shamayim shlema. That is fully accepting the yoke of heaven. Meaning a full, all malchut shamayim includes both the Shema and the Shemona Esrei. You see, Rav Soloveitchik explained there are really two aspects to being a religious individual. One of them is fully expressed by the Amidah, and one of them is fully expressed by the Shema. And they're both expressed by the concept of tefillah. Look at page 7. Just the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. This may make an appearance in a Rosh Hashanah sermon at some point in the future. It's one of my favorite passages. The Mishnah says that the proper shofar to use on Rosh Hashanah is that of a Ya'el, which is the lamb, that is straight, pashut. Pashut means straight. And on fast days, they use the male shofar, which is curved. There's a curved shofar and there's a straight shofar. The other opinion, Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite. On Rosh Hashanah, you use the curved shofar, and on the Yovlot, you use the straight shofar. It's not really the opposite. The Gemara explains exactly, you know, where they disagree and where they don't disagree. But what are they arguing about? What's the deal with the straight shofar and the curved shofar? The Gemara asks that at the bottom. But my kamifulgi, what are they arguing about? Mar savar b'Rosh Hashanah, kama de kayif inish da'ate, tfei ma'ale. V'yom ha-kipurim, kama de pashit inish da'ate, tfei ma'ale. One of the opinions is that it's best to be straight. How straight you are, that's better. And the other opinion is that how curved you are, that's better. And Rashi explains that has to do with davening. Is it proper to daven bent up, bent down like this, curved? Or is it proper to daven straight? The difference being that when you stand up straight, you are showing your confidence and your honor as a human being. B'tzelem Elokim nivra ha'adam. We were created in the image of God, and we too reflect that divine image. And so we are proud that we are able to daven. After all, what kind of chutzpah does it take to go to God and make requests and all of these things, and then say Baruch Atah Hashem? You know, that requires a certain level of confidence. But at the same time, one daven's curved, in that we humble ourselves before the Lord. And that's also what tefillah is all about. Tefillah is about humbling ourselves before God. We show through our tefillah that God is at the source of everything, that we're nothing without Him. Rofecho lim, matira surim, all of these things, we are nothing without Him. And so tefillah contains within it both of these aspects. Rav Soloveitchik suggests that they're both present, that really Shemona Esrei reflects that bent version of tefillah, and that the Shema represents the heroic aspect of tefillah. I call it heroic based on, you know, I included a few passages from Catharsis, which is a very important essay by Rav Soloveitchik on page 8 and 9. We don't really have the time to read it in depth. But Rav Soloveitchik believed that observance of halacha was heroic. Read a little bit. What is heroism in the halacha? What does the halacha recommend to us that we may attain heroic stature? The answer is one must perform the dialectical movement. The halachic catharsis expresses itself in a paradoxical movement in two opposite directions, in surging forward boldly and in retreating humbly. Man's heroic experience is a polar antithetic one. Man drives forward only to retreat and to reverse, subsequently, the direction of his movement. Namely, that we have an inner drive, we have human nature to do certain things, and when the halacha restricts those things, our submission to that restriction is a heroic act. A hungry man faces the smell of bacon, I don't know. And it's an act of heroism to resist that. and to not succumb to those temptations. And it's a long essay where he discusses that there is physical heroism, emotional heroism, for example, in the laws of Avelut, when, that's the next page, I included the emotional heroism. But Rav Soloveitchik points out that when one experiences, God forbid, a death in the family, the death of a loved one, and it happens to fall right before Yom Tov, one is required to abruptly end their shiva and their inner mourning and their tearing of their heart, which is symbolized by the tearing of a garment, and to enjoy Simchas Yom Tov, and to completely change their emotion, to take control of their emotion. There's an intellectual heroism where we learn so much and we strive to know as much as we can possibly know, but at some point there are things we don't know and we don't understand. And accepting that is also an act of heroism, says the Rav. Yeah.
I was thinking that with the Shema and the Shemona Esrei, in the dark and say Shema, and the sunrise reminds us that we need to be very humble, because the sun, Hashem makes the sunrise and changes everything, so it's more daring in a way to say Shema in the dark, which it's scary, you know?
That's right. They say of Rabbi Menachem Mendel of Kutsk that he used to carry two psukim in his pocket all the time. One pasuk was Betzelem Elokim Nivra Ha'adam, man was created in the image of God. And the other one was, I forget which pasuk exactly, but one that is effectively, what? Afar Va'efer. That man is nothing but ashes. These two aspects. And so that's why Shema and Shemona Esrei are so connected and are both really aspects of tefillah. They are both tefillah, because tefillah, davening, contains both of those things. The heroic act to say, Shema Yisrael, we accept God. And not only that, there's when you accept the mitzvot upon you, there is a certain ego there, that I can do this, right? One, it requires a certain level of self-confidence to observe halacha, because it's not easy. So to say, I have the ability to act in this heroic way, that requires some confidence. Saying Shema has that in it. But it also requires the humility to submit ourselves before God and accept that we are nothing without God's help and God's control of everything. And so Rav Soloveitchik says that's what Rabbeinu Tam is pointing to with the rules of the Zman of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. He says Kriyat Shema, even though you might have assumed that Shema and Tefillah are two separate things, they always go together. And if rules apply to Shema, to Tefillah, davening, they also must apply to Shema. Now, because Shema itself is a kind of Tefillah as well, I would like to suggest that Rashi holds of both of the sides of the equation of Shema. Rashi says that there are two aspects of Shema. There is a Shema that is a simple mitzvah, to recite Shema twice daily. But there is another aspect of Shema that is the davening aspect, that's the tefillah aspect. That's a part of our prayer. And if we understand that, then we actually can answer all of Tosfot's questions about Rashi. Because, sure, perhaps the mitzvah of Shema only requires one paragraph. But the tefillah of Shema, the prayer aspect of Shema, which is rooted in the three paragraphs, because of all the three themes that we've discussed in the Shema that are connected to the three blessings of the Shema. Acceptance of God, God's sovereignty, acceptance of the mitzvot and of Talmud Torah, and God's redemption. That's all part of the prayer aspect of Shema. And so the three paragraphs need to be said at Maariv, and they can be said early. The mitzvah, the one paragraph, that needs to be said late. The Birkot Kriyat Shema, they're not connected to the mitzvah of Shema. That's why you don't have to say them till late. You don't have to say, you know, when you say Shema later, it's not a problem that you already said the brachos earlier. The brachos of Shema are connected to the tefillah aspect, to the davening part of Shema. And so I think that we really understand the sort of, you know, there were three bases to sum up. We saw that the Mishnah says that Shema must be said after nightfall, and that all of the Rishonim ask, why is it that everybody says it so early? And we saw one extreme opinion in Rabbeinu Yonah and all of the Sardic Rishonim and the Geonim, that the Shema we said earlier counts for nothing. It's just there for some, you know, reason. Really, you have to say Shema afterwards. Then we saw the Tosfos. It says, no. Shema is part of Tefillah. And so the Shema that you said earlier counts as well. But Rashi combines both of those opinions. And Rashi says that there is a mitzvah to recite Shema, recitation, but there is also an aspect of Shema that is tefillah. Just to tell you the way that we rule for the halacha, because I think that even though we learned the history last week and we learned the philosophy this week, it's always important to make sure we know what the practical halacha is as well. And the general accepted principle is that the Shema is like the Sephardic Rishonim, that the Shema that we say at davening doesn't count, and that you have to recite Shema again later on. So the proper practice would be to recite all three paragraphs of Shema after you leave here, at Yerid Av Marav here, after Shkia, and certainly in the summer, you know, when we... the truth is that, you know, this also has to do with, you know, what time is Shkia and what time is nightfall and all of that. So it could be that certain times of the year, our Marav here is after nightfall, according to the Gra and according to those who think that nightfall is fairly early. So there are times of the year when you probably don't have to repeat Shema. But for most of the year, the proper practice would be to repeat Shema after you get home, once it turns into nightfall. Most of the Ashkenazi commentaries say that you don't have to worry about not eating or anything like that before you say Shema. You could say, you know, you could wait until you go to bed and follow Rashi's approach and say that Shema there, and that has to do with, you know, whether the laws of eating before we recite a mitzvah, before we do a mitzvah, apply when you know you're going to do a mitzvah at a certain time. Same reason why most people aren't particular about not eating before they light Hanukkah candles, because they know they're going to light Hanukkah candles, you know, at a certain time. They have a set time to do that, so they do that. Okay. Any questions about this? Okay, I think we've really exhausted this topic. So please God, next week we will continue in the next phase of the Gemara and learn about the times of the day.